And you're listening to Unusual Sources here on 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton at 93.3 on the FM dial and the rest of the world at cfmu.ca, our online streaming service. I'm Brendan Stone, co-host, and Doug is recovering from surgery, from which we wish him well. So on today's program, we have something special for you. I know you're all waiting for it, so I'll get to it pretty soon. Two local area activists, Liz and Talar, attended the February 19 Rage Against the War Machine rally in Washington, D.C. There's been some things said and written about this rally, but I thought, why not get a first-hand account? We have two eyewitnesses. So we'll be getting to that in just a moment. First, I should let you know to mark your calendars for March 15 and March 18. On March 15, we have a lecture called The Ugly Canadian, Justin Trudeau's Foreign Policy, an in-person lecture by Eve Engler. It's basically a book launch for Eve's latest book about Trudeau's foreign policy. It's at McMaster University at the L.R. Wilson Building, or LRW. 2001. It's going to be next Wednesday, March 15 at 5:30 p.m., so almost exactly 1 week from now, and it's free admission. And, you know, we had Eve back in 2012. He launched his book called The Ugly Canadian, Stephen Harper's Foreign Policy, and of course there's been a lot of developments since then under Trudeau, so Eve is going to be talking about that, and you can find information on the Facebook page for the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. So look us up on Facebook, and it's going to be posted today or tomorrow at the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War website, hcsw.ca. That's hcsw.ca, March 15. And also mark your calendar for March 18, Dimitri Lascaris. I'll explain later. Anyway, what you've all been waiting for, Liz and Talar, who wish to use their first names, went down to the February 19 Rage Against the War Machine rally in D.C. And I caught them yesterday to talk about it, so let's hear their eyewitness testimony from the event. And now I'm with two local activists from the area, Liz and Talar, who were at the Rage Against the War Machine rally. I mean, there's a lot we'll hear about today, but I want to thank both of you for being on the program today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us, Brendan.
Yeah, I was just saying before the interview that it's incredible that two people from not too far from Hamilton have managed to take a road trip down to this rally that's been all over the news and activist circles. I'm not sure when you first heard about it or what exactly it was that piqued your interest, but how did you manage or end up on a road trip together? What caught your attention about this rally that made you divert all the way there?
Well, I heard about the rally last year. I actually don't know how I heard about it. It's possible I maybe heard about it through Jimmy Dore, who was one of the main speakers there, or just in kind of being as active as we can in the anti-war movement in Canada, it may have been promoted somewhere. And because Talar and I are anti-imperialist activists, and we try to participate as much as we can in anti-imperialist activism in Canada, although I would say not enough is organized, aside from the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War, which is probably one of the best groups in Ontario that's doing this kind of important work. I would say that there really isn't enough going on here. So when I saw that the rally was being organized and seemed to already have a lot of prominent speakers lined up even so early on, I talked to Talar, see if it's something that we would want to do and maybe go to, because it's really not that far from us. And yeah, so we made the decision, and we're, I think, glad that we did overall, even with all the controversy, it turned to be a very good experience.
Yeah, and Liz was sort of interested in the Julian Assange rally in the same location a few months prior, and we found out about it last minute, so it just didn't work out And then when she found out about this, she approached me and said, oh, one of the demands are to free Julian Assange. And of course, a list of other things we both agree with. And she, you know, she said it would be fun to take a road trip there and go together, especially around the timing of the 1 year anniversary since the war in Ukraine began. So yeah, we both agreed and we went on the road trip together.
There were certainly a lot of interesting demands and some of them stood out. I'm glad the one about Julian Assange caught your attention. I actually think that given we're so early in the process of organizing demonstrations and events about Ukraine and NATO and such, the demands of that rally were actually pretty advanced for something that was kind of starting things up. Yeah, so I agree. Now, you made your way all the way down to Washington. So I imagine you tried to get the most out of it. So you probably stayed for like the whole event. I mean, did you get to see the whole thing, like all the speakers and everything or what?
Yeah, so the day was early and it lasted several hours. We did eventually do a march to the White House. It started at Lincoln Memorial. And when we were walking there, we actually were able to catch up with Misty Winston, who some of the viewers and listeners may be aware of. She's main organizers to free Julian Assange in the US, and she's fantastic. So we kind of just happened upon her by accident on the way and had a good conversation with her. And yeah, when we got to the rally, I think our intention was not only to, of course, hear the speakers, many of which we were very excited to hear. There was a lot of leftist commentators that we were excited to hear from, and some that we weren't necessarily, but we were, that was expected because it was organized by the People's Party, the Movement for People's Party, and the Libertarian Party. So of course it was like kind of an interesting mix of speakers. For me, and I think for Talar also, we were very excited to hear, especially from people like Chris Hedges, Max Blumenthal of the Gray Zone. It was great to hear from Garland Nixon as well, Jimmy Dore, Jill Stein, among others, Tara Reid. There was lots of great speakers, and I think we were able to catch most of them, but we also wanted the opportunity to, I think, network with people there, other minded individuals, kind of get a sense of, you know, what the, we knew what the demands were as relayed by the organizers, but of course, we were also curious about what kinds of people were attending that rally, what their demands were, what their signage was. So we listened to, I think, most of the speakers, but we also wanted to kind of check out some of the tables and just talk to the people. And so there was a lot of opportunity for that.
Yeah, so the rally started about 12:30 p.m. in the afternoon. It lasted probably till past 5 p.m. And like Liz said, we gathered at Lincoln Memorial and we ended up marching through Washington, through the city. So the passersby were able to see the signs as well. We made some noise with drumming and with chanting, and we gathered outside of the White House. And there were lots of tourists, both at Lincoln Memorial and the White House, that ended up taking photos of us, and we ended up in their, I guess, touristy photos of the White House, which they probably weren't expecting. But that was one of the goals of the rally, was to get people aware of this very, very dire situation that is impacting all of us, and which most people unfortunately are not aware of, as well as send a message to Washington in the belly of the beast. Mm-hmm. So those were kind of the two main purposes of us being there and the event.
Yeah, no, just to go off of what I was saying in terms of catching the people's attention, you know, and in terms of, I think you're probably going to get into it as well, like some of the controversy that was mostly, I don't think, very coming from a good faith critique, I should say, for the most part. I understand there is some valid critiques that can be made of, you know, who organized the rally. I was also mildly hesitant when I first heard about the knowing that it was organized by the Libertarian Party, I wasn't thrilled about that. But like Talar said, this is such a critical time for the world. Like, we're talking about the possibility of nuclear war and annihilation of life on the planet. And I really don't think that even the average person is aware of this. Like, this is clearly not relayed on mainstream media, which most average people consume. And unless you're in the kind of anti-imperialist space, a lot of people don't really know what the hell is going on. And of course, they're very propagandized when they think they do know. So for us to be able to like go through the streets of Washington and, you know, catch people's attention was great in and of itself. And of course, the demands of the rally, like we mentioned, were ones that we could get behind. So it would be great to see more anti-imperialist left groups organize resistance to this. And I support that if they do. But unfortunately, there's just so much division in left liberal spaces that it seems like these kinds of rallies are not organized at all. Or if they are, it's not attracting the attention that we need it to. Building a strong anti-war movement like we saw back at the Iraq War.
Right. Well, you've actually brought up a lot of important points. I mean, first, the marching. I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, you guys marched. And that's a way for people to see that there's opposition to this NATO agenda. So one of the reasons you hold a rally like that is not just to get it publicized and to tell your friends about it and your networks, but that people out in the street can see that there might be some like-minded people that they can work with. And that's the whole other thing, too. You mentioned anti-imperialism, anti-imperialist space, people that want to do something. I think that shouldn't be such a narrow thing. That should be open to a lot of people. A lot of us are coming from the left, and we might like to work with what's imagined to be leftist people. But I mean, I think we really need to think in terms of general audience, general population. And that kind of brings into question what you saw there in the crowd or in the audience of the February 19 event. So, I mean, we all read things about this event. You mentioned that there had been controversy. So you might have been prepared or geared yourself to see anything. What like was like a super right-wing crowd, you know, or what are you dealing with in terms of the audience that was there?
Yeah, I mean, it was and wasn't what I was expecting at the same time. I think the quality of the messaging definitely exceeded my expectations. I did have going in, just because we're not so used to seeing the sort of signage that we agree with. It's not a very common thing to see. So when we saw signs like, you know, Biden is the bomber of the North Line, or messaging around the Palestinian journalist that was assassinated in May of 2022, and, you know, signs about the proxy war in Ukraine and how it's aggression towards Russia. I mean, they were very strong messages calling NATO a terrorist organization. And that's just something we're not used to seeing even in local rallies. So the crowd was mixed. You know, we're approached with leaflets from various organizations, including libertarian organizations, which Liz and I were both impressed with their willingness and openness to speak with anybody, you know, get them on their forms for sending out news releases and things like that. They were very determined to form relation and connections with people. And that's something that I think the left can learn a lot from, is just having a more open mind and realizing that we have more in common with people than we think. And the true enemy is not each other. We can, I mean, if we agree on these points of and these demands that we were all sort of coming together for, then the more that we can agree on and achieve together. So we estimated about, and this is just my estimate, of maybe about 1,500 people overall. Some were in the main speaker area and others were along the sides where the booths were set up for distributing pamphlets.
Yeah, I think it was hard to really estimate the number of people there, of course, because it's like a top tourist area. So, but, you know, I would even count the tourists that weren't there for the rally that were kind of sticking around and listening. You could, if you want to be generous, say that they were, you know, they could be counted as part of the count. So, I mean, maybe if you're being like overly generous, I would say like, but that might be too much. I think like what Tolar said, between like 1500 to 2500 people is a reasonable estimate. And like she said, it was a very interesting like of attendees. And in terms of, you know, the kind of messaging, there was a lot of really great messaging. Like Tolar said, you know, there was people that was highlighting the Palestinian resistance. There were Palestinian flags there. You know, the need to protect journalists like Julian Assange and Assange, and of course, I believe her name's Shireen Abu Akleh, who was murdered by Israeli Defense Forces. And then at the same time, we got, you know, a glimpse of the kind of libertarian crowd. A lot of them were fans of Ron Paul. He was one of the main attractions, I think, at near the end he spoke. And there was some signage around the Fed. So that was kind of interesting. However, there was also, you know, a lot of like really great conversations that we had with people that don't describe themselves as leftists or Marxists, you know, the way that maybe Tolar and I might describe ourselves. We were able to really connect with people on this common interest, which is that we, you know, don't support the proxy war in Ukraine. Washington needs to keep its hands on nuclear armed powers. And, you know, there's like interest by the United States government to start a war with China by 2025. Like, it's just insane. And this rally understand the direness of the situation that we're in. And I think it's really problematic that left-leaning groups that we would normally subscribe to, or we should be able to subscribe to on issues of international foreign policy, relatively silent on these really key issues that affect all of humanity. And it seems that a lot of left liberal groups active right now are focusing around more around issues on identity you know, other issues that are not, they're important of course, but it's like some of the organizers of these groups like Code that refused to endorse the event and refused to even let their leader Medea Benjamin speak at the event. She was there, but she wasn't able to speak in fear of, you know, disappointing her organization. It just seems like such a missed opportunity. Meanwhile, you've got like libertarian groups like the Schiller Institute, like the LaRouche faction. They're extremely organized and they were there leafletting and you know, basically getting people to join their organizations. And where was the left? You know, the mainstream left groups were not only there, but they were actively putting the rally down ahead of time. And the World Socialist website promptly distributed an article right after the rally was done. I don't even think they had a representative there, but they called this a freak show. Just ridiculous. And anybody who may have read that article, such an eye roll for us that were there. It was anything but a freak show. These were people coming together on issue. Russia is, you know, I believe that Russia has the right to defend themselves against imperialist aggression. Washington is waging aggressive wars abroad, and Russia is not going to take this sitting down. And we know that we have organized together to stop Western aggression abroad. So it's really disappointing that we didn't see enough left groups. However, there were some, and maybe I can get in the ones that did show up, which was really nice to see, but we needed more. We could have probably seen upwards of 10,000 people, which I think was some estimates of what the crowd could have looked like. But unfortunately, it was much lower than that. Many left-leaning groups decided not to participate or even just attend. They don't even need to endorse it, but they didn't even want to attend to talk to people, which was super disappointing.
Yes. I mean, as you're saying, this issue in question here is that of nuclear annihilation. So that's obviously a priority. And although there are many issues people have to work together on to address in terms of racism and gendered oppression and so on, those issues won't be resolved if we all die in a nuclear war. And I know some people have poo-pooed that idea and said, well, what's the point of saving us from nuclear war if we can't immediately solve this or that other problem? But I think most people would say we have a dire situation, as you've clearly pointed out, and very helpfully, I think. And yeah, so I mean, this crowd to you did not seem like a freak show. You met libertarians and you met other people who were very talkative, very open-minded, willing to discuss issues, address issues, debate things. I guess you mentioned there are some leftists in the crowd. So I mean, were they there? I guess they weren't there attached to a particular speaker. They just kind of came to the rally.
Yeah. So the groups that were there that are identifiably leftist groups that I saw was the Bolshevik Tendency. And actually, they put out a really great statement ahead of time about why they were coming to the, though they didn't want to endorse the rally, which I think is a very fair reason. And I don't bemoan any leftist group that didn't want to endorse the rally. There's some legitimate reasons not to, like the peace, Bolshevik Tendency and others. However, Bolshevik Tendency was there and they were leafletting and they have a very strong position in my opinion. The African People's Socialist Party was also there and they were actively leafletting as well. And they have a campaign now, Hands Off Uhuru, and Chairman Omali Yeshitela. So they were making a lot of connections there and I was really happy to see them. There was also some different communist groups, the Party of Communist USA, the Progressive Labor Party, Veterans for Peace. They've made a statement that they were not participating or not endorsing the event. However, there may have been a couple of their members that decided to attend because we did see peace flags being raised there, which was interesting. World Beyond War also had a table. But then, of course, like Talar said earlier, you know, the Schiller Institute, Diane Sayre, and the LaRouche faction was quite prominent there, I would say, as well. So this really, I feel like the rally is what you want it to be. And the fact that, you know, people are coming together that we can all agree are very important. And a lot of them are no different than what the left subscribes to in terms of internationalist foreign policy. The rally is an opportunity. Like these are, you know, people that are ripe to learn and they're ripe to take action. But how are you going to get through to people if to even attend to get those people on your side? So in a lot of ways, it was really a missed opportunity for the left. And there was, in our view, there was really no reason not to. There was nothing that was said in the speeches that was flagrantly problematic. Everything that were the demands as relayed by the organizers were the key talking points in the speeches. And was no really going rogue and talking about other issues where we may have disagreements, like issues around economics or social issues.
Yeah, and I can just go over some of those demands that were on the Rage Against the War website. So starting with not one more penny for the proxy war in Ukraine against disband NATO, and of course we're seeing calls for France to exit NATO and Germany and other European countries as of recent are protesting in their own countries to exit NATO. abolish the CIA and military industrial deep state, close all U.S. military bases abroad, because there are several U.S. military bases around the world threatening countries globally. Global nuclear de-escalation, restore civil liberties, Julian Assange, and stop the war inflation. And like Liz mentioned, there were a lot of families who had kids that were enlisted in the military. They don't want to see their children suffer and fight for something that is not even their issue. And just going off of some of the messaging, we did actually, we were sitting of the Lincoln Memorial at one point, and we were sitting beside signs that said "Left and Right Unite." And there was an individual that approached us that wasn't in agreement with the rally, and they had splits with reasons why the left should not support these kinds of events. And, you know, I took a glimpse and I was just thinking of Max Blumenthal's speech in the beginning that said, you know, he's a journalist and he went to several countries and he can tell you that the Palestinians don't care what side you're on. The Koreans don't care what side you're on. None of these oppressed peoples really are concerned if you're vaccinated or not, or what your identities are. They just want us to come together and help them survive, essentially, and help humanity as a whole. And I think that this is only a step to really come together and unite us all. And if we don't do, if we don't sort of have a large anti-war movement, we're just essentially preaching and we're not growing into this powerful, successful force that is absolutely necessary to fight against the elites. I mean, there are more of us than there are them, and we really need to show that.
Thanks, Talar. I think you made a lot of important points. And it's like Liz said, this rally is what you make of it. And in a broader abstract sense, I think it's what you put into it. And if some leftist groups don't engage and involve themselves in a rally like that, they are the ones who ultimately suffer, as well as a single issue movement. So it's to everyone's benefit that we see all interested parties engage and build a stronger movement against the danger of imperialist war. So, yeah, I think what you did going down there and bringing us back testimony is extremely helpful. You can read a million articles, but hearing from people who went there can really clear things up. And, you know, I know there's going to be more anti-war actions in the future, rallies, events, panels, discussions, and things like that. So, you know, I think ultimately it shows we need to have more of that, not less. We need to find ways to work together and to draw in new people. And yeah, I think some valuable lessons were learned from this whole thing. I'm glad there was a debate about it. I'm glad there was a struggle. There'll be more struggle ahead. But with conscientious people like yourselves, we can push forward on the issue. So thanks so much for being on the program with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate the talk about it.
Thanks very much.
Thanks again, Liz and Talar. If you want more background on the February 19 rally, there's some great articles out there by Rick Sterling and Diana Johnstone, so I recommend taking a look, do a search of their names and the Rage Against the War Machine rally. I know the Taylor Report recently interviewed Rick Sterling about his article.